You're tuned to WDIY Classics on WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis. I'm your host for this Friday edition of WDIY Classics. And it's another big concert weekend in Allentown. At the Miller Symphony Hall, the Allentown Symphony Orchestra will be presenting their next concert in their 2012-2013 concert series, Saturday, March 16th at 8 o'clock, Sunday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day at 3 p.m., Jiwon Sung on violin. The music on the program includes the Irish Rhapsody of Herbert, the Concerto for Violin in D Major, Opus 35 of Tchaikovsky, and Dvorak's Symphony No. 9 in E Minor, Opus 95 from The New World. The concert's entitled The New World, and it's under the direction of the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, Maestra Diane Whitry. Maestra Diane Whitry, we celebrated her this morning on WDIY Classics as part of our Women's History Month, an internationally acclaimed conductor. She has conducted concerts in Japan, Canada, Bosnia, Russia, Slovakia, New York, Washington, D.C., New Jersey, Wisconsin, also up and down the coast of California, as well as her regularly scheduled concerts in Pennsylvania and Connecticut. She is known as a conductor who specializes in finding creative ways to make music fresh, accessible, and exciting. And we're pleased to welcome her back to WDIY for a very accessible, fresh, and exciting concert this weekend. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So glad you're here. Well, pretty exciting. This is St. Patrick's Day weekend. Some of the just best music that you could pick for a concert like this, talking about fresh and exciting. And you're coming off of a beehive of activity the last couple of weeks at Miller Symphony Hall. Had the big string competition a couple of weeks ago. How'd that go?
That was just fantastic. This was cello this year. And if you were listening in a couple weeks ago, we had two of the contestants here on the air, and one of those contestants actually received third place. The first place went to Christine Lampria, who's from the Boston area, and she'll be coming back next year to perform the Barber Cello Concerto. And it was just a very wonderful competition, a very close competition, and that makes it a lot more fun for us as judges because, you know, we never know from one day to the next how people are going to play. But Jiwon Sung was our winner the year before that, and we're looking very much forward to working with her and featuring her on the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto.
That is so exciting. We're so glad that she's here. And the Tchaikovsky, is that something that you programmed, or as the winner of the competition, she gets to pick that piece of music?
Yeah, each of the contestants will pick the piece of music that they want to play for the competition, and whatever piece they win performing is the piece that we bring back the following year. So it makes it a little bit difficult for me in doing the programming because I have to hold that hole on the program for that piece, and then we slide that in.
And so it may or may not fit sometimes.
Exactly, exactly.
But I think it works this time.
But I think this time, exactly. This is a wonderful program, very, very exciting music, a lot of fun. The orchestra's playing it great, and you're going to really enjoy this concert.
Terrific. For our listeners, we're visiting with Diane Whitry, the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. And the concerts are this weekend, Saturday, the 16th of March at 8 o'clock, Sunday, the 17th at 3 p.m., a wonderful pair of concerts entitled The New World. Well, let's meet our soloist here. Welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. So tell me a little bit about your background. Where do you study? Where have you played? Where are you from originally?
I'm from Seoul, Korea, and I studied there until I was fifth grade. And then I went to Cleveland Institute because my dad had to move to America to work for 2 years. And then I auditioned for Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia, and then I got in when I was 14. And then after that, I performed with the Philadelphia Orchestra, and I had a lot of concert experiences. And now I'm still at Curtis Institute, and it's my sixth year there.
Oh, wonderful. Cleveland, you know, I think of Cleveland, and that is sort of, I grew up in the Midwest. Uh-huh. And so when I think of Cleveland, I just think this is one of the great towns of you know, I think of you know, with George Schell and some of these great conductors from I mean, the previous era. It's still a great music town, but mm-hmm. but Ohio has a lot of wonderful musical institutions, Oberlin College, all of those, and so that's a great place
Certainly.
To study.
Well, and for people that may not be familiar with the Curtis Institute of Music, this is one of the finest music conservatories in the United States, but also I think one of the most competitive to get into because it's scholarship only and they only take a few people each year. So to get in there at the age of 14 is pretty phenomenal.
That's amazing. It is truly amazing. And then again, Philadelphia, what a great town. What is your aspirations? Do you hope to tour, record?
I do hope to perform in various places, and I want to be a professor or teacher because I love teaching. And one of my life goal is to actually judge at competitions. Is also my
right.
dream.
Well, maybe one day. See, I'm already. I see your head working. One of my goals here. I can see this now. 1 year, where Diane and I will be in our 80s with walkers,
and you'll be here.
You'll be here judging.
But well, you know, it's funny because we're coming up on a big anniversary of the shot competition, and we're talking about bringing back some of the past winners, you know, to talk about what they're doing now. And, you know, eventually I do hope that past winners will be invited to judge the competition and that, you know, this competition will really take a place both nationally, internationally. You know, sort of like the Van Cliburn competition, where people just associate that as a very, very high caliber competition.
Mm-hmm. All right, tell me a little bit about how you picked up the violin. When I was growing up as a child, if you were to learn an instrument in school, all the strings started when you were in fourth grade, and then all of the band instruments started in fifth grade. So a lot of kids, they picked up a violin first simply because that's what you could play first in school. Did you have someone in your family who's musical, or how did you choose the violin?
My mom plays violin, and she was in the orchestra for 13 years. So when I was 4, she taught me how to play. And of course, I was too young to play anything, so I just made some sound on the violin. But I liked it because as a young age, I wanted more attention, and I thought I would make more friends. And that was initially how I started. But then after I learned more, I fell in love, and then I thought I have to do this for my life.
So that was something that came from you. It wasn't mm-hmm. It wasn't like somebody said, oh, you're brilliant, you play. It was something that came from your heart.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wonderful. You want to talk about what we're going to play, or do you want to play first and then talk more? Why don't you play?
Okay.
What would you play for us today?
I think I'll play a little bit of first movement of Tchaikovsky concerto that I'll play this weekend.
All right.
And while she's getting set up, the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto, when it was first written, you know, right now this concerto is to our ears so accessible, so melodic, so beautiful. But it's kind of humorous that when it was first performed, the technique of the violinists of that time was not as developed as the technique of our violinists today. And it was actually viewed as unplayable at that time period and took a while to actually get premiered because of that. And then even got some very scathing reviews because it was a little bit different in format than some of the violin concertos that had been written before it. But it's humorous because to our ears now, this is very much a very melodic, very showpiece, and certainly a very playable piece for all of the violinists that are performing today.
Wonderful. In the studio today, Jiwon Sung. She is the 2012 winner of the shot competition from the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. She'll be performing this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at Miller Symphony Hall. More information is at allentownsymphony.org. The music of Tchaikovsky for a Friday morning live here at, one second, I got to get you turned on here, live in WDIY. Thank you. That's 19-year-old Jiwon Sung, native of Seoul, Korea, student at the Curtis Institute of Music and winner of the 2012 shot competition at the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, right here live at WDIY, performing the music of Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky. That'll be, you can hear that entire piece along with the Allentown Symphony Orchestra this weekend, a pair of concerts Saturday, March 16th at 8 o'clock, Sunday, March 17th at 3 o'clock. The program is entitled New World. More information is at allentownsymphony.org. Jiwon Sung, along with Diane Witchery in the studio with me this morning. That was brilliant. It was beautiful. Thank you so much. You have traveled all over the world. You were home recently. You played some concerts back in Korea.
Yes.
How often do you get back?
I go back for concerts maybe twice in 6 months or something like that. But mm-hmm. I have another one coming this summer, and I will have a recital in Korea.
Good.
With Nansei Kim. The conductor in Korea, he'll narrate the pieces for me for my recital.
Wonderful. And then you also have competed around the world. Norway also?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Diane, I know that you're a violinist by training, and I saw you just twitching a little. Have you played that before yourself?
I have played that piece before. But, you know, now I think of it more as a conductor thinks of it, you know, so I'm listening because, you know, we're going to be rehearsing this later on this evening. And so I'm going, oh, you know, nice taking a little time here. I have to make sure that, you know, I don't push here with the orchestra. And that's the fun of making music with different artists and different guest soloists, is that each person you work with brings their own personality, their own interpretation to the piece, and it makes it very fresh and exciting because we have to become a team in a very short amount of time, literally mm-hmm. two rehearsals, and then we perform together. And it's just a wonderful thing when you work with different musicians and finding that where you can really appreciate and admire the musicality of the people you're working mm-hmm. with.
Jiwon, when you start playing violin, you're usually part of a large ensemble. You're one of many players, mm-hmm. But you're moving now to a point in your career where you're not one of many. You are the soloist. You're standing up front, and that's sort of when you're sitting in the violin section, you are part of a team. You are your goal is to all sound together as one. Mm-hmm. But when you are a soloist, you're the leader of the band. You know, you're in charge. How is that for you to be the one who says, this is how fast I'm going to play this, or this is what I'm going to emphasize? Is that, does that come easily for you, or how is that transition to be a solo artist?
Well, as I was young, I actually grew up to be a soloist from when I was very young, and I think because of that I do have like a strong opinion of what I want to do and a strong interpretation, so I think it's very easy for me to have my own decision in music making, and it's enjoyable to be a soloist.
That's wonderful for me. That's great. Maybe one day you'll be a conductor. That's where it goes. You'll be a conductor next. See, you'll be a conductor next. I know. That's wonderful. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. You are
a very, very brilliant musician, and I really look forward to hearing you this weekend. So you want to talk a little more? You want to listen to something else from the Tchaikovsky? Or?
Yeah, we could listen. Why don't we listen to a little bit of the last movement, because the last movement was where in the original first performance, the reviewer basically said he was just, you know, tearing the violin up and just sort of bashing it all over the place. And you know, once again, I think this is kind of fun because for us it's very melodic, it's very fun, it's a very virtuosic final movement, but very, very exciting. So let's listen to a little bit of the final movement of the Tchaikovsky.
All right, this is... on this recording, it's extern on violin, and the Concerto for Violin and Orchestra in D Major, Opus 35, right? Mm-hmm. The finale, right here on WDIY Classics. That's the Philadelphia Orchestra under the direction of Eugene Ormandy. It's Extern on violin. That was the third movement of the Concerto for Violin and Orchestra in D major of Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky. That'll be performed this weekend at the Miller Symphony Hall as a part of a pair of concerts from the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. More information at allentownsymphony.org or you can call their box office at 610-432-7961. With me in the studio, the maestra, Diane Wittry herself. Diane, that was a little brisk, I thought.
It was.
Eugene
what
Ormandy.
Technique? What yeah, technique? Huh? I mean, yeah. You can see why the piece is difficult to play and why at the time it was written it was considered by some to be unplayable. Because, you know, the technique for all those scales, but so much fun. Just really a really fun piece to do.
I suppose that's sort of like running the 5-minute mile or the 10-second 100-meter dash, you know, but it seems like there are these limits that nobody's going to cross, and pretty soon you're running the mile in 4 minutes and, you
that's
know,
exactly
45
right.
seconds.
We just keep raising the bar.
Right, and same with violin. So now look at piece of cake, right? Is that easy to play for you, right?
Yeah,
really easy. Okay, good. Well, Tchaikovsky is only part of the program, and we have another guest with us too. There are other components to make all of this sound really, really good. Who's with us today?
Well, we have Marc-André Bougy, who is our conducting fellow. And if you've been following every single concert, we have a different conducting fellow that comes from around the country. And they help with things backstage. Mark has some very specific things that I'll be having him help with because the opening work on this concert actually is a piece by Victor Herbert called The Irish Rhapsody, and we have Irish dancers, and so we need someone backstage to make sure they know when to come out. But the Conducting Fellows Program is wonderful because it creates an opportunity for young conductors to come to see what we're doing here with the Allentown Symphony and to be a part of this, to listen for balance in the hall, and to just be able to meet with some of our wonderful staff that we have and to see how an organization of this budget size functions. We're now in our third year of having conducting fellows, and we have a different one for each concert. It's also nice for the Allentown Symphony and the Lehigh Valley because these people then go back to their own communities and are able to talk about the things we're doing here, which is wonderful, so we can share ideas back and forth.
Marc-André, welcome to WDIY.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're originally from Canada.
From Montreal, Quebec.
Oh, lovely. I just was in Montreal just a couple months ago. It's a beautiful city, wonderful place to be. But you've been in the United States for how many years?
I moved in 1999, so it's my 14th year.
14th year. Yeah. And you've gone south. Where are you? Texas? Arkansas?
Yes, I live in Texarkana, Arkansas now. And Texarkana is a bi-state city, so it's two halves. One in Arkansas, one in Texas. So I work in Texas, but I live in Arkansas.
Well, Diane was to Texan herself there for a little while.
That's right. I was in Beaumont, Texas.
Beaumont, Texas. How about that? And you've also traveled and conducted internationally. Where all have you been?
Yes, I followed Diane to Bulgaria last year for the conducting seminar in Pleven. And in the past, I conducted concerts in Italy near Milano. And also, since I'm from Canada, I conducted there quite a bit in the Montreal, Quebec City region.
Good. Tell me about your experience now as an aspiring conductor. You've done the conducting seminar. I'm sure you've taken copious notes on the baton book from Diane.
Yes.
What's it like then to sit and, I mean, you have your own approach to conducting an orchestra, what you think it sounds like. What kinds of things do you learn or experience when you come and watch Diane run her program?
Well, since I've got my own orchestra in Texarkana, and I've been with them for 7 years, I've really had the experience of standing in front of a group for a few years, and now I can be here, observe, and see exactly, compare what we're doing, and feel good or see where I need to make improvements. So it's great because I have the experience and I can make comparison with what we're doing. So I learn a lot from watching Diane, first of all, musically, but also from observing how the organization is ran and how things are flowing during a concert weekend. So that's a great learning experience for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, we like to think that you know, as a listening audience, that 90% of what happens on the stage with the musicians. But that's probably just a small fraction. I don't know what percentage it is, but there's so much more with regards to planning programs, organizing musicians, marketing, developing, you know, the community interest and in involvement, investment. And that's a big part of what it takes to be a music director.
Yes, and all music directors go through this. And to see that other people we respect go through this too puts things in perspective for us. So I truly admire the work Diane is doing because I can see how all of this is important to making the performance stellar. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking notes. I'm enjoying the music making too, which in the end, that's what really matters. But all of this comes together because it's been so well prepared and so well put together.
Wonderful. We're so glad you're here. We're glad you are helping make this concert experience a little extra special for us here in the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah, and we're very lucky that we're able to attract conducting fellows of the caliber of Marc-André. You know, many of our conducting fellows, you know, have professional positions already, and it is a great way to share ideas back and forth. Because often as a conductor, you become a little bit isolated in your own community. You are usually the only conductor in your community, and unless you're able to get out nationally and see what other orchestras are doing, you can't always bring back best practices. So it's very important to exchange ideas.
Sure. And I think the other thing, the experience I've had watching the different musicians come through WDIY and the different fellows, the other part of it is networking. You meet musicians, and musicians meet you, and over time, then who knows? Maybe you'll be playing the violin in Texarkana sometime. Who knows?
Yeah, that's exactly true. It's a very small industry, long term, and you know, I just tell conductors and performers, if you stay in it long enough, you know, a lot of people kind of go by the wayside, but the people that stay in it are many times the same people that you were at summer music festivals with, that you played with in youth orchestras. You know, I can't tell you how many people I went to college with that are in major, you know, positions, both as performers, but also some of them went into administration and they're running major orchestras. And it's really exciting to see how the field develops over time.
That's wonderful. Tell me a little about your cultural experience. Growing up in Montreal, a very, very cosmopolitan city, metropolitan. Texarkana, not so much. What is it like developing an audience in Texas, in Arkansas? And I don't want to be stereotypical. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest. Yeah. Omaha, you know, Sheila Evans, she played for the Omaha Symphony. We had a great arts community in the town I grew up in. And some people might say, oh, that's, you know, they're, you know, backwoods out in the West. What do they know? But we had a wonderful arts community, a wonderful opera and a wonderful symphony orchestra. How do you develop programming? Is it different than programming here, or what's it like in that community?
First of all, regarding the cultural shock, I moved to Missouri first, so so that was my first shock.
No, you didn't move to Missouri.
And
you
then
moved
I moved to
Missouri.
I used to say misery when I got there, so I got in trouble. And I barely spoke English then, so I had to learn this first of all, which was a struggle. And then I moved to Louisiana, and from then on to Texarkana. And in Texarkana, there was no symphony before I got there, so I was able to build something from scratch with the help of lots of great volunteers and educate people about classical music. So I face very few concert goers with preconceived notions about what this should be about. And as I've traveled and met with teachers and mentors like Diane, I was able to bring the level up there and bring people along with me. So it's been a great experience. After 7 years, I'd say that we have a very strong following, about 700 or 800 people for concert, which is pretty good for regional orchestra. And they're supportive of what we do. And, you know, I'm in the field of education, too. I teach college. And I find that young people don't have any prejudice or preconceived opinion about music. If you catch them at the right time, and you open their mind to the beauty of what music can be. I've never met somebody who's not receptive. So I think education has a lot to do with it, and the right kind of education and exposure.
That's wonderful. We're so glad you're here. We have about 20 minutes left. We have some tickets to give away. We have still music to listen to. We're visiting with Diane Wittry, the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, along with Marc-André Bougy, and the soloist, Jiwon Song. And we're previewing a pair of concerts coming up this weekend, the 16th and 17th at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown, the former Allentown Symphony Hall, now Miller Symphony Hall. More information is at allentownsymphony.org. Well, let's talk music for about 10 minutes, and we're going to play a little music and give some tickets away.
Good. So the opening piece on this program, I really felt, because the concerts were happening on St. Patrick's Day weekend, that I needed to do something to pay tribute to that. And so I found a wonderful piece by Victor Herbert. And Victor Herbert was originally born in Dublin and then moved to Germany. So he was raised in Germany. But then he immigrated to the United States when he was about 27 years old. And most people remember him now as the composer of Babes in Toyland and of many, many musicals and operettas. I think he wrote over 40 of these. He was very eclectic in the fact that he was actually a very well-known cellist, a solo cellist. He also conducted. His first conducting position was actually with one of the bands in New York. Later on, he became conductor of the Pittsburgh Symphony. And then he was also the founder of ASCAP, which is the Association of Society of Composers and
Musicians.
We have to look what that is. And performers.
Performing artists, maybe.
And that's the society that actually regulates the rights. He was upset because he wrote a lot of popular songs and melodies, and he was hearing them being played in restaurants and around town, and he wasn't getting any sort of compensation for that. And this really revolutionized how performers and composers were compensated. But I think the interesting thing, as I researched, because I actually selected the work before I looked up the date that it was written, and then when I actually looked up the date, I realized, oh my goodness, both the Dvorak New World Symphony and the Victor Herbert Irish Rhapsody were written in the same year. And then as I looked further, it was very interesting to note that both Dvorak and Victor Herbert taught at the same National Conservatory in New York. And so they must have known each other. They must have been friends. And I thought that was a real interesting connection, and it makes me think about the music differently. And so both these pieces were written in 1892-93, the cusp of that year. And we have to realize that Dvorak was brought to the United States. You know, we think of him as being a Czech composer, but he was brought to the United States, composed this work in the United States, and he was brought here by a woman named Jeanette Thurber, and she was a philanthropist and very much a visionary woman who wanted to form a national conservatory. And this conservatory was in New York. And she was very proud to be able to get someone of Dvorak's background to be the head of her new conservatory. So he came here with his family, and then he spent his summers actually in Ohio in a very, very small farming community. And I think it was more in the summers that he was able to relate more to the folk music of the United States. And he was influenced by American spirituals, but also by the American Indian heritage. And he was familiar with the poem, the Hiawatha poem, and incorporated some of those concepts also into his pieces. So putting these two pieces together, I think, is very interesting, because there's a section even in Dvorak's New World Symphony that to me is more, has sort of a reminiscence of Irish folk melodies. And so we open the concert, first and foremost, with this combination of Irish rhapsody and Irish melodies by Victor Herbert. And with this, we'll be featuring some of the dancers from the Maureen O'Grady Dance School. And I was so pleased when I worked with them, because they are absolutely a professional quality. But you won't be seeing them dance the entire piece. The piece is 16 minutes long and a medley of different tunes. So they'll be sort of coming on and off at different times, and that's why it's very critical to have a musician like Marc-André backstage to make sure the dances come out at the right time. But let's listen. Do we have the Irish Rhapsody? We can listen to a little of that and a little of the different melodies that he utilizes.
All right. This is the music of Victor Herbert for a Friday morning. It's from a collection on the Naxos American Classics label. It's the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra under the baton of Keith Brion. And this is Victor Herbert's Irish Rhapsody right here on WDIY. the music of Victor Herbert for a Friday morning right here on WDIY Classics. His Irish Rhapsody, performed by the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra, Keith Bryan conducting. It's 10:52, 8 minutes away from 11 o'clock, 8 minutes away from our classical calendar. We're talking about the concerts this weekend at Miller Symphony Hall. That piece will be part of this St. Patrick's Day weekend concert entitled New World. Diane Whitry, that was kind of fun.
Yeah, it's a great fun piece. It's got seven different Irish tunes, some of them slow and beautiful like you heard near the beginning, and then some of them where you literally just want to get up and start dancing because it's just so much light and fun music. And I think people are going to really enjoy this piece. It's a piece that when we read it through yesterday with the orchestra, I asked afterwards, you know, how many people had played the piece before, and actually only one musician raised their hand. So it's not a piece you get to hear that often, but I thought a perfect piece for this weekend to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm going to say the best for last. Maybe we're going to save one of the most familiar pieces for the last. If this one's not as well known, I bet everybody has listened to or heard at some point some of Dvorak's Symphony No. 9.
Yes, and many people, you might have heard the work but not actually known what you were listening to. But I think the most famous movement from this work is the second movement. And this is the movement with the big English horn solo that later on words were put to this. So there was not a spiritual that necessarily inspired this, but actually the words were put to this after. Dvorak was influenced by melodies of American spirituals, but really created his own music. But people have you hear remnants of Swing Low, Sweet Chariot and other spirituals. And the words that have been put to this movement is the song Going Home. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear when the English horn begins, it's a gorgeous melody. And it just is very heartwarming. So why don't we listen to a little second movement?
We're actually going to finish here because it's time. But so before we start the music, I got two things I want to say. Is that what's interesting to me is that those spirituals influenced this composition, but this composition has influenced many contemporary composers. If you've listened to anything by John Williams,
yes, I was going to say Jaws for the last half movement.
half of his film scores were inspired by one or another piece of this piece of music. And so you get Jaws, there's the NBC Nightly News theme, you know, all of those are,
yes,
packed into this piece of music. It's a wonderful piece of music. And if you'd like to hear it, I have two pairs of tickets to give away. As soon as the music starts, the number to call here is 610-694-8100, extension 1. 610-694-8100, extension 1. After the music starts, I'll give you free pair of tickets, either to Saturday's performance, 8 o'clock, Sunday the 17th at 3 o'clock. More information is at allentownsymphony.org. Or you can call their box office. I don't want to confuse you, but it's 610-432-6715. You can buy tickets there. That might be the easiest way to do it. Just call and buy tickets. But if you want to try to get a free pair, 610-694-8100, extension 1. Diane Whitry, thanks so much.
Thank you. And if you're not doing anything in the next hour, we do have the Brown Bag Talk,
yeah,
at
absolutely.
Symphony Hall
at
12 o'clock noon. It's free. We will all be there talking a little bit more about the concert. And we also do some ticket giveaways there at the Brown Bag. So if you don't call and get these tickets, come to the Brown Bag and you might get two tickets there.
Jiwon Song, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
It was so great to have you here. Best wishes on your future performing. And Mark, also, thank you, Mark Andre.
Thank you
so much for being here today.